March 2nd, 2015 was the 40th anniversary of my becoming a birder. On that Sunday in 1975, I spent over an hour in Baker Woodlot on the Michigan State University campus searching for a bird, any bird, and finally found and painstakingly identified it, a black-capped chickadee. 3 days later, I saw my second species, a mallard, on the Red Cedar River on campus. 4 days later, I doubled my life list again when a European starling and house sparrow first visited the bird feeder Russ put up for me behind our apartment. I doubled my life list again on March 17th when Russ and I visited the Morton Arboretum outside Chicago, and I added cardinal, crow, Canada goose, and bufflehead, bringing my life list to 8. That also marked the very last time I'd ever double my life list in a single day. The heady excitement of finding and figuring out all these new birds on my own was as intense as falling in love. I often encounter people who started their life lists at birding festivals or on organized field trips. A life list can mushroom that way. A morning walk with an expert in good habitat during migration can easily yield 50, 70, or more species, while at the end of my entire first spring of daily birding, my life list had reached only 40. But my slow progress paid off in the long run. The skills I was developing in finding and identifying birds, including learning their songs, were solid. I jumped on the fast track that June when I took a field ornithology class at the Kellogg Biological Station near Kalamazoo, Michigan, more than doubling my life list in 3 weeks, bringing it to 90. I added 30 more lifers in 1975, ending the year with 120 species on my life list. The next year I brought it to 225. I reached the 300 mark in 1978 and broke 400 in 1980. Russ and I made trips to Texas and southeastern Arizona using bird finding books by Jim Lane to tell us where to go and what to look for. I delighted in figuring out so many unfamiliar species in my old plodding way, though I was much more skilled now, missing few of the birds I searched for. My romance with birds and my joy in finding and identifying them on my own were as overpowering as ever. Things settled down when we had our first baby in 1981. I was just as passionate about birds, but my love was ripening into something integrated with family life. I was limited to watching them closer to home and on family vacations, so building my life list slowed down considerably. I didn't break 500 until 1991 and didn't get to 600 until 1996. In 2001, when my youngest was in high school, I took my first trips to Costa Rica and Trinidad, which helped me break 1,000. Now I have about double that, and my love for birds is as strong as ever, but it's matured into a quiet, constant love rather than that red-hot, acquisitive passion. So soon after my heart attack, I'm feeling more mellow and zen-like, happy to enjoy whatever comes my way without feeling any compunctions to chase down rarities. On March 21st, I'm getting a puppy named Pip and have decided to start a whole new list of birds seen with her at my side. We'll be starting out when I pick her up at her breeder's home in a Chicago suburb, so our first birds together will include many of the ones I first saw 40 years ago. I don't expect Pip to master the differences between Empidonax flycatchers or even the difference between a chickadee and a blue jay, and I expect that a small dog will be more inclined to moseying than high-powered bird chasing, just as I seem to be right now. But both heading to wonderful birding spots and sticking closer to home with a jolly little birding companion will give me a lovely way to start anew, just in time to mark the beginning of my 5th decade birding. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.